Well, there's some great stage presence there, because I'm thinking this is at 6:30 at night when you're watching it, and actually it was Sunday morning at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. You're going.
We started taping at 8.
That's early to be excited about bowling, I think, for most people. Maybe not some, but.
Well, we did it at different bowling alleys. We started at Southdale Bowl, then we went to Captain Jack's out in Woodbury, and Flaherty's Bowl in Arden Hills, where I live now. In Arden Hills, I live about 2 minutes, so every time I go by Flaherty's Bowl, I think about that.
I think you got a spot to make some appearances. You could host a neon bowling, or what's that called? They have some kind of...
I think that's Cosmic Bowling.
Thank you, Cosmic Bowling.
I know Flaherty's good.
You know,
place.
I was on a ship at St. Petersburg, Russia one time, and right by the dock, every night you could see all these lights going on and off. I thought, what in the world is that? So I got off the ship, and I go in there, they were doing Cosmic Bowling.
Well, of course,
in St. Petersburg, Russia.
This is they might have just gotten bowling in St. Petersburg. Let's listen. This is fun. Let's listen to Bowling for Dollars, the intro.
Hello there. Good evening. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the all new Bowling for Dollars, and I think I have a right to call it that with all the great new ideas and bonuses that we have here. And pin pals out there, you get the same thing the bowler gets, so you can all really clean up on the show. It takes two strikes in a row to win our jackpot. It has always been that way. Let's look at the board. Oh, look at that. $600 for a third strike, some nice icing on the cake, an $899 value pool table. 4 feet by 8 feet, complete with balls and cue sticks, delivered and set up. And for a new fourth consecutive strike, a 17-foot by 34-foot oval swimming pool, including heater, diving board, cleaning equipment, and chemicals, completely installed in the metro area from the great people at Pacific.
There must be some confidence that no one was going to get that fourth strike.
No, we never did give that away. I did a commercial one time for Pacific Pool and Patio, and it is amazing. They wanted me to jump into the pool with all my clothes on. I said,
sure.
I'll do one take. One take. And I told Denny DeGrizel, our photographer, Denny, whatever you do, don't blow this, because I'm not going to do this twice. And whenever I hear a Pacific Pool and Patio, and we did one take, and I jumped in with all my clothes on, and anything for a buck.
You and Jerry Falwell, right? You
know, yeah, that's right. It was almost, you know, it was more like Jerry Springer.
Yeah, well, you know, that's... But you know, but people love that show, and people still talk about it. And if people want to see it, go to tcmedianow.com. Again, Tom Ryther of KSP and KARE, you left KSP to go to Cleveland, which you betray us all. You leave for us for the big network-owned station in Cleveland. But you had some fun there.
Well, I did. I just wanted to see how I would do working for a network-owned station. And they came to me. Got the name of Don Dunkel, D-U-N-K,
right.
And I won't forget, he called me one day, and he said, I'm the head of all the NBC-owned stations' news operations. We really like your work. I'd like to meet you. And so he flew into the Twin Cities, and we talked, and I liked him a lot. And so then I went to Cleveland on a weekend during a horrible snowstorm. They had an 18-inch snowfall. In fact, I couldn't take a – I had to transfer. I got off the plane in Chicago and took a train then from Chicago to Cleveland. And but I took the job just to see what it was like, and met some great people there. Al Roker, the great Al Roker of NBC, was our weather guy.
He did okay.
He made it bigger than anybody I've ever worked with. And no. Al's a multimillionaire, but it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I used to a couple of times a week get on the trolley and go out to Shaker Heights with him and have dinner with he and his family.
Sure. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Tom Ryther on his return, the triumphant return to Minneapolis, and everything that happened in the 1980s. This is Flashback Twin Cities, KLBB Club 1220.
WTCN-TV, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Channel 11. This is News Center 11 from WTCN, Minneapolis, St. Paul, with John Bachman, Tom Ryther, Sports, and Glenn Burns Weather. Now for News Center 11, John Bachman.
Good evening. For you young people out there, WTCN was Care 11 for 35 years?
Yeah, right, exactly. They used to be, it was WTCN, and then when Gannett bought them, they became WUSA,
right.
And they turned over the call letters to their Washington, D.C. station, and then we became CARE.
And if you think that's confusing, when you left for Cleveland for your special assignment, NBC, which was KSDP's affiliate since the birth of television, went to WTCN. ABC went to KSDP. Channel 9, which was ABC, that became independent. And did I get it all right? I think that...
No, there was no Fox back then. I wish there had been, but it was strictly the three main networks.
And again, we're with Tom Ryther of former CARE and former KSDP sports director talking about his days at Channel 5 and Channel 11. So, Tom, you left Channel 5, you went to Cleveland, and you decided to come home, back to Minnesota. You missed it too much to be away.
Well, I was there about 2.5 years in Cleveland, and wonderful people and a great market, and enjoyed working there. But I missed my kids from my first marriage, and I came back into the Twin Cities to do a commercial for my dear friend, the late Jim Lupien of Lupien Oldsmobile, sure. And all these multi-automobile dealerships that he owned. And I did the commercial while I was at Channel 11. I was walking the hall, and Bob Franson, the general manager, walked by me, and he said, "Hi, Tom, do you want to come back?" And I said, "Let's talk." And we talked, and I was very fortunate to be able to get out of my contract and come back.
And I talked to you and talked to Paul Douglas and John Bachman, the former anchor. Everyone loved Bob Franson. He did a lot. I mean, he did a lot of great things for that station.
Art Ludwig, the program manager, Bob Franson, the old timers in the sales department. Those were. I used to play golf at Brookview Golf Course, and they had all brand new studios that Metro Media, the owners, had built. And I used to drool, thinking, "Boy, would I like to work in that nice place sometime."
But Metro Media was not known for its news affiliate, and Channel 11 kind of got this affiliate by default because they didn't want to give it to Channel 9, NBC.
Yeah.
So Channel 11 gets this affiliate, and they tried to really ramp up the news team. Brought you back, but they didn't really put the muscle behind it that they needed.
No, Metro Media just didn't want to put the money in it. We had bad cameras that would freeze up in cold weather. We had news cars that wouldn't start. We didn't promote anything, and it was really we had a. Oh, I can't think of the guy's name. He's one of the founders of the cell phone. Made zillions of dollars. He was the head guy at Metro Media, and he was an art collector. And the halls of Channel 11. Over $2 million worth of artwork hanging on the wall. And but would he put some of that money into our equipment? No. But Gannett changed everything. They came in and started pouring money into the operation. Boy, they started paying everybody a lot more, and it was pretty nice.
Well, and Gannett they created USA Today. And what they did was they came in and they decided, you know, we're here to win. We're not going to be here to be another – because Channel 11 had gone through a couple different owners in their history. They were once co-owned by – CCO at one point, I think, and then they were owned by another group before Metro Media purchased them. And Metro Media was trying to get out of this affiliate business. But you worked with John Bachman, and you worked with Glenn Burns, and you first came back to
great people, super.
A lot of great people that just didn't have the promotion, have the muscle behind it.
No, there was no promotion. And John Bachman, who was at one time an intern at KSTP, used to help bring my scripts out and water and stuff like that. And I often thought it would be fun to work with him because I just thought he had a great talent. I came back and got to work with John. And Glenn Burns was a super weather guy. He's now a big-time weather guy down in Atlanta and working with John Bachman's son.
There's some.
Oh, am I feeling older now?
Coincidentally for you. Well, I think that aren't we all, right? So Gannett comes in, and then they bring in, you can't have Ryther without Majors, but they couldn't get Ron Majors, so they bring in Paul Majors.
And I knew Paul from when he was going to law school in the Twin Cities and living with his brother Ron, and I liked Paul quite a bit, and I even said to him one time, "You ought to think about television," and he got his law degree, and then he did get into television out in, I think, Portland, Oregon, and then we brought him in here from San Diego, and I was happy to say I was among the people who... we were looking at weather tapes, and for some reason, I always had a good talent at knowing talent.
Mm-hmm.
I was really thrilled that we were getting Paul, but I said, "But this kid from Pennsylvania, he's good." It turned out to be Douglas Paul Krewhofer, who was known as Paul Douglas.
Right. And Paul Douglas, much like Walt Lyons, brought scientific and
absolutely
a fantastic shtick. I asked Paul Douglas when I interviewed him a couple years ago, I said, you were much younger than I am right now. How did you go into a big corporation and ask them, "Can you cut out a wall in our studio, allow me to do weather from the backyard, without any kind of proven ratings or any kind of – I can't imagine a company today. I can't imagine going to my other job on Monday and saying, "Can I just cut out a wall here, and I guarantee you we'll make more money."
Well, I'll tell you how that happened. Paul went to Penn State University, and then whenever he had spare time, weekends, he did weather out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And he just came up with this idea. Hey, I have to forecast the weather, so let me go out into the weather. And he walked out into the, just a grass yard and did the weather outside. And he brought that idea to Channel 11 here in the Twin Cities. And he was at the right place at the right time with the right people. Joe Fransgroat, a great general manager. Tom Kirby, a great news director. They loved it, and they put all this money into the backyard, which still exists today. And they have these big stadium floodlights to light it up. And some of the neighbors didn't like it, and there were lawsuits. But finally, they must have paid people off. But Doug really started the let's do weather in the backyard.
Well, it became iconic, part of Channel 11. I mean, every promo picture from CARE is always from the backyard, and I think Paul should be very proud of what he did. And I know Channel 4 tried to do the roof top for a while, and I think other stations have tried to do it, but
no one did it, and they're still doing it today. And Paul Douglas, one of my favorite people of all time, a brilliant guy, and I'm just very proud of the career he's had.
Well, you get the team lined up. You get Diana, you get Paul. Let's listen to what that team sounded like back in 1986.
Now, the Twin Cities' fastest growing television news. News 11. With Paul Majors, Diana Pierce, Tom Reiter on sports, and meteorologist Paul Douglas.
There we go.
Happy memories.
A number three team, which went to number one.
I can remember they were all relatively new outside of Paul, who'd gone to law school here, but Paul Douglas and Diana. Diana was from California. Doug was from Pennsylvania. But I had a house up on Lake Mille Lacs, and I thought, I'm going to mold us into a group where we all really know each other. And on several occasions, I'd take the whole crew up to my house on Lake Mille Lacs, on the south end of Lake Mille Lacs. We had more fun there and laughed and really got to know each other. And I think in the long run, it really, really helped and paid off.
Well, I think it's tough to be able to fake getting along. And you can tell, I mean, viewers, oh. I mean, I watch a lot of TV, a lot of news, but you can tell when people really get along and where it's really frosty, and you can see that. And that's why a lot of anchor teams didn't work, and national and local, because you can tell there's just something, it's just not, the chemistry isn't right. And it shouldn't matter to those that just want to get information, but you are selling a product, and you're selling, you want to watch people that you're comfortable with, just like you want to work with people you're comfortable with. And the story behind this is you left Channel 5 at number 1. Channel 11 never was even assumed to be competition by 4 and 5.
No, they were taken lightly. But that was a thrill to come from so far back in the ratings. And everything, like Gannett put the money in, got the right equipment, did a lot of promotion, brought in the right group together. And in July of 1987, we forged into first place, and we really laid a foundation. And that group today, they're good, but I don't think they're as good as we were, to be honest with you. But they're still riding the cushion that we built for them all those years ago.
I think there must be something to – you have to fight the number one. You guys are fighting to be respected, and you're fighting to be number one because you're still looked down upon by some of the more established – stations in town.
To think that we could be number one, it's just amazing. So I was pretty lucky to be on two rocket ships in my career to go from nowhere to number one and be a part of teams like that.
Again, it's Tom Reiter, former KSP and former CARE sports director on Flashback Twin Cities. When you were sports director in those number one days, they must have given you the budget you finally wanted your whole life, your budget for promotions, your budget for being able to go out and do remotes, do some of your own stories finally.
Give you a great story about that. Tom Kirby came to me. The Vikings were going to go over and play, I think it was in 1983 or 84. They were going to play the St. Louis Cardinals in the first professional football game ever to be played in Europe, to be played at Wembley Stadium in London. And Kirby walks into my office and says, "Well, get ready. You're going to London." I said, "You got to be kidding me." In the old days, it was all I could do to get a budget to go out to Fridley.
Right, right.
But then, and I went over and I'm of English heritage. My family came from England in 1634. And just to be there was a thrill. I went over with Rich Nestle, and we took our wives, and it was a great adventure. And I thought, boy, this is really great to be working for a guy like Tom Kirby. And by the way, little Janie Helmke, who was my intern at Channel 11 in sports, today is news director of Channel 11.
That's
and
right.
And I'm rooting for her. She was extremely intelligent, and I'm very happy she was named news director. But yes, they laid out the money, but to be told by your boss before you even asked to go, "You're going to London," he says. I said, "Really?"
I was like, if I have to, right?
If I have to, twist my arm.
Well, I think that they're playing a game in Europe, I think, next year, too,
I think. So going to go back.
Is this the first time since you were there that they've done this?
Well, the NFL is playing games over there now. Mm-hmm. They play in Wembley Stadium, and that was amazing to be in that stadium. You have some seats. Of course, they have the Royal Box, but most of the fans, I don't know if it's still like that, fans stand up. You have a bar, a metal bar in front of you, and you put your drink on the bar, whatever it is, and watch your soccer. That's a soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. But it was really funny to watch the reaction of many of the people from England, because they didn't understand the game of American professional football. But you could always tell that the Americans were in the crowd, because if it was first down or somebody fired a touchdown, Tommy Kramer was the quarterback. I did the Tommy Kramer show at the time.
Right.
We taped the Kramer show right in front of the Parliament on the Thames River.
Right.
And after the game, I went out and I became very good friends with the Cardinal quarterback, Jim Hart.
Sure.
During the football strike, I used to fly out on weekends and do Southern Illinois University football, and Jim had played there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did color for me. So I had dinner and drinks with Tommy Kramer, Jim Hart, and the big offensive lineman now who does color on CBS.
I should know this, but
Deardorff.
There you go.
Dan Deardorff. Yeah, and I thought, my gosh, I'm sitting here amongst giants. What am I doing here?
And of course, your favorite sport, hockey, right? Your favorite sport,
well,
cover hockey.
Oh, my goodness. I used to come up here, and this was, as you know, hockey country. I lived at that time in the Bloomington-Jefferson area.
Let's listen to a little hockey coverage here.
Good afternoon. Pat has this Wednesday off. We'll have that vandalism story in a moment, but first, breaking news about the North Stars.
It looks like the chances of the team staying in Minnesota are getting better, and Tom Reither joins us from Bloomington to tell us why. Tommy?
Well, Paul and Diana, what's happened out here near the Met Sports Center at the present time, Howard Baldwin, the movie producer from the Los Angeles area, is meeting with Lou Nanny, and at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, Mr. Baldwin, Lou Nanny, several officials from the North Stars, and Rodney Wallace, who owns the Thunderbird Hotel here in Bloomington. He was also in the meeting, and they asked Mr. Wallace, what can the hospitality industry do to help our efforts to try to buy this team? And Mr. Wallace said they would do everything they possibly could do, and then Mr. Wallace said, what about local ownership? They said they would certainly not be opposed to bringing a few local owners. Now, first of all, Howard Baldwin is involved.
Well, that was one of many, a couple different ownership fights we had here, and that didn't pan out.
I always prided myself in digging out stories. One thing I learned at the University of Missouri is a great journalism school. You got to be able to roll up your sleeves and go out and dig out stories, and I broke a lot of stories, and I did break the story of the new ownership there, but did I know much about hockey when I came up here? Not really. The St. Louis Blues came into St. Louis in about 1968 with the North Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so hockey was new to me, but I became friends with Louie Nanny and a lot of and Gump Worsley and Bill Goldsworthy, and I love those guys, and they knew that I was a hockey dunce, and they really helped me learn the game. And then I became friends with a guy named Herb Brooks, one of my favorite human beings of all time. I was honored to know him.
Much beloved, and unfortunately passed way too young. But
I'll never forget when that automobile accident. I was living in Wisconsin, and I pulled over and I cried.
It's a great statue of him downtown St. Paul.
It's wonderful.
Which is wonderful, wonderful monument to him. Tom, thank you for coming in today. We could go on for a couple more hours.
I love it.
Again, this guy came in. I had a call him on Christmas because my guest had to take care of some business away. So, Tom, appreciate it.
My honor, and for you, anything.
Thank you, Tom. Again, and if you like what you've listened to today, and you have some tapes at home, or you have some videotape you think you might want to get rid of or donate, tcmedianow.com is an official 501c3. You can donate tapes or other material. We will digitize it, and you also receive a tax deduction, which is great. Again, my guest is Tom Reither today. I am Tom Osmond. This is Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220.